know why this is so... You guys, this is like take number 7, 8 of my intro. Oh my goodness. Anyway, hey, if you're new, I'm Claire. I'm your host. Welcome to I'll Drink to That. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sitting and listening to the pod. Today, I get to introduce someone that I never thought I would ever get to introduce on the Broadway Vlogs / this podcast. But guess what? I'm doing it right now, and it's wild. Pinch me. Today, we have Tony Award winner Jesse Mueller. Pause for dramatic effect, because that is crazy to me that I just said that. I do have to say to all of my Waitress fans, I apologize. Because we didn't talk about Waitress, like, at all. And I realized after we got off that there were so many other things that I wanted to say. So, Jesse, if you're listening to this, because, I don't know, you're very interested, I guess, in what we spoke about. You're great in Waitress. Love you in that. Also, we chat a little bit about jazz, and I wanted to ask you if you listen to Lizzie McAlpine. I know that Lizzie McAlpine is not jazz, but we were talking about music recommendations. So that's one, if she kind of has jazz influence a little bit. Oh, and Leve. Do you listen to Leve? She's wonderful. I love her stuff. That was the only other question that I really had. We got off the phone and I literally was like, dang it, I should have asked these other questions. Also, I take dance with the wonderful Chrissy Whitehead. And I get to listen to you sing, you and Drew Gehling sing You Matter to Me every dance class. Because that's one of our songs that we stretch to. And it was the song that Chrissy danced to at her wedding. It's very sweet. But I get to hear you every week, which is so lovely and wonderful. Anyway, that if you weren't Jesse Mueller than that, you probably don't care about any of that. But anyway, this is the podcast. I have no other things to say. Oh, wait, yes, I do. I got a desk, which is so exciting. I have a desk now, so I don't have to be editing on my couch anymore. I mean, I love my blue velvet couch. I do have a blue velvet-ish-esque chair, desk chair, so we're very on theme. And I got a little arm mic thing. You can't see me. I'm looking at it trying to figure out how to describe this thing. Anyway, no one cares about that. I just wanted to say that because I'm very excited that I now have a desk. But anyway, that's it. This is the longest intro to a thing ever. I apologize. Enjoy. And, that's it. That's, all right, just play the podcast. Okay, here we go.
Oh, I got it. She wants you to know she's doing
her job. She wants you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, also, if you hear people yelling, I live right by Marginal Highway in Jersey, and there's always the guys that are there telling people to keep moving.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And horns and all of that really fun stuff. Anyway. Nice.
Well, you might hear some cars driving by. I don't think we have any construction today, knock on wood, so... We might hear the alarm sound at 12, which is now. We'll see. Might hear the small town fire alarm be like,
"Oh, perfect." Yes. Okay. We had that. I went to school in Chicago.
Yes.
And every Tuesday you had the, like, I don't even know what it was for. It was some test and I couldn't even tell you what the natural disaster emergency thing
which
it was
sort
for.
Sort of defeats the purpose, right? Of
it does.
The-
But I knew it
drill?
Always went off like on
Because you're
Tuesday.
Like, I know what that sound is, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. But they always tested it like every Tuesday or something.
Yep. Where did you go to school?
Columbia College, Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I grew up in Evanston.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then went back and worked in Chicago after college for like 5 or 6 years. So I love Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the podcast. We're on I'll Drink to That. With Jesse Mueller.
I'm and... into that. Does everybody sing the song?
Mm-hmm. What is your drink of
beverage
choice for today? Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you. It looks like you're having iced coffee.
I am having iced coffee in my little mason jar moment.
Is there anything special in it?
No.
With your bendy straw?
Some half and half, some a glass straw because save the turtles.
That's right.
And Yeah, that's about it. It's just some...
Any sugar, sweetener?
No, just some half and half. And this is the Starbucks dark roast iced coffee.
Lovely.
I think. Something like that.
Lovely. I've got a black tea in my princess mug. She's a limited edition Downton Abbey blend, I believe. And this is Lady Grantham. So she's sort of a vanilla Earl Grey.
I didn't know Downton Abbey had a...
It's delicious.
Tea.
Yes, tea I also have Mrs. Pat, Daisy and Mrs. Patmore.
Okay.
There's this plum pudding. Yeah, so it's got like cloves and things. It was very good for the holidays.
So you're a Downton Abbey fan, I take it.
I am.
Are you... Okay, so I haven't... I'll full confession.
I don't think I saw the new movie, though.
I haven't watched the movie, and I haven't seen season two, but my mom and I binged season one together.
Oh, there's tons of seasons, aren't there?
Aren't they on season three right now?
Downton Abbey? No, it's...
Downton Abbey. Just kidding. I'm thinking of Bridgerton, but same concept. Downton Abbey, yes. I also binged that with my mother, but I didn't pay
attention. It's a good mom show.
To Downton Abbey.
I used to watch it with my mom.
Loved it, though.
Bridgerton can be... That could be a little risky watching with your mom. It gets kind of saucy.
The first 5 minutes is quite the saucy.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that. And we started it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have that relationship with your mom? I feel like that could be awkward.
We do now.
We do now. Hey, lady love, man.
You know, it was a very interesting.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Turn on. But.
Well, that's fun.
But she's a big... Have you been to the Downton Abbey Museum thing?
Well, there was a touring exhibit
experience.
I want to say years ago that, yes, I did go to with my buddy Brian. Yeah.
That's fun. Loved
it. It was very fun.
I took my mom there for her birthday when she came to Chicago 1 year. And then I think we went here because I, for some reason, thought it was like a completely different thing, and it was not.
It was exactly the same.
It was the exact same thing.
In different rooms.
Yeah, pretty much.
Same cases, different rooms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we basically, and then they also had an exhibit at the Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh.
Which is really cool because the Biltmores were within the same time era as Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. And so that was really fun. And they had all the costumes in like their proper places where they would be.
Oh, that's cool. Like, I'm all about that sort of thing.
We've been to that house more times than we probably should because it doesn't change. They don't do anything different with it, but it's like one of my favorite things to do in North Carolina.
Oh, that's so cool. Are you from there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never been to the Carolinas. Everybody says they're awesome.
Depends on where you go, but yes, as it is with everywhere.
Where would you recommend going?
If you're going to go to South Carolina, Charleston is a big touristy spot, especially if you love the beach and shopping and historical type stuff. They have a lot of tours and things like that there, which I love going to Charleston, and good food.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is like huge. It's like a step down from Chicago, I would say, but it's still a pretty big city, especially if you get into it, but you just have a little bit more of a suburby kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really big on theater.
Like, got it.
Huge with theater.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's where I got. Wells Fargo does a lot of stuff with them because I think, well, that's one of their branches there or something is there. Mm-hmm. And then the Blumenthal, which that company supports like the Jimmys and some of the Tony's stuff and all of that. Tom Gabbard, I believe, is like the president or something, if you know that name. But anyway, the Blumenthal Theater is there, and a lot of the really big touring shows come through there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then if you want to get away, I love Asheville. Asheville is gorgeous.
I've heard good things about Asheville, yeah.
In the fall and in the winter when it snows, it's just beautiful. And then Raleigh's okay. Raleigh is the capital.
You passed your test.
Yeah. Raleigh is indeed the capital. And then, I don't know. We always went to the beach because I love the mountains, but the mountains don't love me in cars. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mountain driving is a particular thing.
But going over into like the North Carolina mountains is nice. It's beautiful in the fall and all of that. Yeah, I like North Carolina better than I like South Carolina. I'll say that.
Okay.
But I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then we moved when I started high school to South Carolina.
To South Carolina.
So I've been to both. So
you can claim them both. Yeah.
Yeah. When people ask, I'm like, I'm from the Carolinas, and they're like, which one? I'm like, yes.
All of them.
Correct.
All the Linas. Yeah.
Okay, but you're from Chicago.
I am.
As you stated, and you did some theater there, and I want to talk about your time like in Chicago doing theater and stuff. What was that like? Because
oh sure, let's
never
do it.
I never got to do real like a lot of theater in Chicago because
yeah. Did you move right after school?
I moved. Yeah, so I just graduated this past year.
Congratulations.
May, thank you. But COVID hit smack in the middle.
Yeah, I was gonna say you had a crazy college experience.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get to do a lot of theater stuff or see a lot of theater in Chicago, which is unfortunate.
Or see a lot of people.
Or do anything.
Like or go out or be a human being.
Yeah. So, but you did stuff in Chicago. So talk to me a little bit about.
Yes, it was pre-COVID. Do you remember those days? Let me tell you about the times that were before COVID. It was a golden era. Yes, so I was there. I was in Chicago early 2000s, like 2006 through 2010-ish, I think, 10-ish, 11-ish. I loved my time there. That was where that's where I started doing theater professionally. And I was really fortunate. I ended up auditioning and getting some work right away in the ensemble of a show at the Drury Lane Oakbrook Theater. We're doing Once Upon a Mattress. And I loved my time in Chicago. It's such a great, it's like you were talking about North Carolina. It's such a great theater community and theater town. And I think audiences are just really, they're really smart. They're really game. They love new stuff too. And you drive a lot in Chicago if you're working in theater, especially musical theater. All the sort of musical theater houses are sort of out in the suburbs. Everything is not sort of contained in the same sort of block radii as it is in New York, say. You know what I mean? Where like all your theaters are sort of in this one pocket. You have a bit of that in the downtown theater area. But a lot of that is like the touring houses where shows come through. And then you have like the Goodman and the Steppenwolf that are downtown, but then a lot of your musical theater houses are out in the suburbs. So I spent a lot of time driving, but I love my time there. Just met awesome people. And I think Chicago actors are very, I don't know. They're just very work centric. It's like, okay, cool. Like, let's get the work done. Like, let's get in a room and get to work. There's not a lot of egos. There's not a lot of, I always got the sense in Chicago that I felt like was a difference when I got to New York of working in Chicago. Everyone's like very focused on the project and then the moment at hand. And I think sometimes in my experience in New York, everybody's in the experience they're in, but they're also like, well, then I got to prep for this and I got to do it and I got to get this job. And there's a lot of that in Chicago too, because the runs of shows weren't very long. It'd be like 2.5-3 months for something. And then you were always looking for more work, but I got that sense that everybody was very, like their heads and hearts were in the project and the thing you were doing at the moment, if that makes sense.
Chicago also feels like, because I never worked in, no, I'm trying to think, but I did not. I didn't work in any theaters, but like I had friends who were in theater in Chicago and like in the little storefront theaters and things like that. And it just seems like it's such a, like you actually create such a family like first day, and then everyone's so laid back with a lot of their work.
Yeah. When you're getting I feel like that was my experience too. Yeah.
And just like hearing the stories and they're like, no, I'm just having, it's just like a grand time. I'm just having fun. And I'm like, that sounds like a wonderful space to be in. Of course, there are a few that are a little questionable, but for the most part, like it just seems the Chicago theater scene, and there's always something happening because there's so many little itty bitty theaters and
absolutely, like we said, here, all the storefront theaters and non-equity theaters. There's always something happening. Yeah,
but I do remember I had friends who
did things at Drury Lane.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like drive out, which was interesting because I don't have a car. But fortunately, my roommate that I was with did have a car. So we were actually able to go. And I was like, if I had to train all the way out there, spend like 2 hours on the train to go and see the show and then come all the way
back.
Oh,
yeah, that would be a lot.
Not me happening. Or like a $100 Uber ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Get out there. Yeah.
But
I wonder if you worked with, I'm trying to think, maybe I'm getting my people confused between like Columbia and DePaul, but I feel like I probably knew some of your teachers at some point, but maybe not.
I can list them. You want to?
Sure.
Okay. Jermaine Hill.
Okay. No, I don't know Jermaine.
I worked with him. Amy Yule was one of my professors. Justin Brill and Shanna Vanderwerker. They were kind of new.
Uh-huh.
Andra Vilas Simon. Andra, however you want to say her name. Celeste Williams was someone I worked with. Barbara Robertson.
Robertson? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tim is the last name I don't remember because I never said his last name, but his name is Tim.
His name is Tim.
His name is Tim. Who else?
Not Tim Kane.
Oh, maybe. Actually.
wife named Kate?
Oh, I
Kate Fry?
I have no idea the wife.
Wonders of the Chicago theater scene.
I'm trying to think of who else. Dontario Johnson was our director for Head Over Heels that we just did recently.
Oh, cool.
And then Stephanie Shaw and her partner, Brian Shaw. That's his name. Listen, if you go to Columbia right now, if you went to Columbia and you're listening to the... No one needs to know that it took me that long to remember my professor's names. No one needs to know. Nobody needs to know.
Very cool. Yeah, I was just curious.
All my professors. It's interesting the people that... Either you know all of those people or you're like, I have no earthly idea who any of those people are. Because the people who are like, oh, I know Columbia. And some of them are like, I know every single person that you've just listed.
Sure.
I don't.
Sure. But then again, I mean, it's been a minute since I was there and making connections with people in Chicago. So, you know, it's like a whole new, there's a whole new generation of people that are coming in and doing their thing. So,
yeah. I really liked being in Chicago in college, though, because I was able to see, like you said, so much new theater comes in.
Yes.
When I was able to see theater and able to see things, that was, like, awesome to go and see that. A lot of the stuff I saw was, like, at the Goodman or something coming in for their out-of-town. So it was, like, that kind of new theater. But I saw a few.
Yeah, very cool. Did you ever see anything at Looking Glass?
No, I didn't. There were a few things that happened afterwards, but it got to the point where...
Also, you were there during COVID.
I was there during COVID,
mm-hmm.
which plopped right in the middle of my sophomore year. Sheesh. And then we were completely online my junior year. No, wow. Fall of my junior year. My spring year, I think I had one class, and we met in person once. And there were only... They did it where it was like... Six people come this day, and then six people come this day, and then another six people come that day, and we had our little squares.
Sure.
I love that.
Keep your distance, and oh my gosh.
And then senior year, we were kind of like back into like hybrid, so a lot of it.
You're
like
on camera other... work is going to be off the charts.
We worked on camera work. We worked self tapes. That was
sure,
like
sure, so smart.
Which is very interesting because by my senior year, they were like. Okay, well, this is your class. It's your last year. What do you want to do?
Mm.
And we were like, ensemble work.
Because sure. We want to actually be together.
Ensemble work that we did was ensemble work where you like self-taped yourself and then you edited to make it look like you were all kind
doing
of
something together.
Looking at each other. It was very Brady Bunch, like this box and then this box. And
yeah.
So that was my ensemble work. And then we didn't really get a lot of time doing in-person auditions. Which is
sure, of course not.
Very interesting. Finally coming up here and being like, "Oh, that's what this is." Great, good to know. So,
did you feel like it was a shock, or did you feel like it was a, like a happy addition to like have that live energy in the room being exchanged? Did you feel like it was a positive thing, or did it feel jarring to you?
I love an in-person audition because you get one chance, you go in, you be yourself, and then you get to leave, and you can go buy yourself sushi or whatever you want afterwards. Whereas mm-hmm. with a self-tape, as I just did yesterday, I spent like literally more time on a self-tape than I ever should ever.
Oh, it always takes way longer than you think it's going to. You're like, I can knock this out in an hour. 3 hours yeah. later, and yeah. then you have to watch it.
Then you have to watch it and choose which ones that you
yes,
want.
Yes, then you have to watch it and be a self-editor, which is like... It, you know, death to the trade.
Yeah. Yes. And then you're sitting there and you're like, these are the exact same takes, but one of them is better. And I know it is.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
and then you end up going with this,
but like, I don't want to tape it again. I already took my light down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally did that to myself. I said, my light is down. I can't, there's no more that's happening. And I usually give myself a three.
You're like, my light is down.
Mm-hmm. And I usually give myself like a three. I can only do three takes,
mm-hmm.
but yesterday was for Light in the Piazza, and I don't know Light in the Piazza.
I was going to say, just one of the most complicated musicals ever.
They gave us a MIDI track of the melody.
Yeah.
It was not slowed down whatsoever either. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, yeah, totally, I can learn this. And I'm like, how do you count this?
That would make me cry. I don't even know what the time signature is, but I have a feeling it would make me cry.
I'm pretty sure it's 4/4, but there are a lot of quadruplets.
No, I doubt it. I really doubt it.
It was horrible.
There's some 9/8 action in there or some.
Okay, so I'm looking at the music now, and it starts off in a lovely 4/4. We love a 4/4. And then it moves to a 2/4. And then I think it goes back to 4/4. It feels like it could be 9/8 action. It feels like it could be, it should be crazy. It's not. I'm just, you know. But we love Gettle. We love a challenge. And Light in the Piazza is gorgeous. So, you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway, what I ended up doing was my little cheat. And I put my AirPod in, played the melody track in my ear.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Playing with that, which was still wrong. And then put the other thing on top. And then I finally was like, all right, it is what it is. And then I realized that I didn't slate after I took everything down. So I did go and figure out that. I was like, do I have another slate?
That's when you put in a voiceover, it's like, this is. Just say
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Boop, this is Claire McConnell. Meeting for the role of Clara.
Yeah.
Yeah, robot voice.
It was an interesting time. And then I had a show at 54 right after. So I was like, well, at least I'm very warm and I am ready to sing.
And then I hope you came home and took a nap. Went straight to bed.
I did not. I probably should have. I didn't. I went out.
Something and then, yeah.
Yeah. I got a burger at Glass House and then I went home.
Living the life.
And then I was like, I have laundry to do, but that's not happening at 2 a.m. So
no.
You know what? We did that. Edited all of those tapes this morning, sent them in right on time because they were due at noon, sent them in like 30 minutes ago.
Wow.
And then I was like, maybe I should look up Jessie for a hot second.
Whatever. Or just ask her questions.
And just ask your questions.
I'm listening to this and cackling because of the huge change that I do right here. But it's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. But so you have done the Broadways, and you have a Tony Award for it, which is awesome. But I actually really want to talk about Carole King because the video of you guys meeting Carole. I mean, I'm sure had you met her before when she came on stage, or
yes, we had met her once before. That meeting was also a surprise. She's very good at surprises. She's very good at writing and singing music and playing the piano. She's also very good at surprises.
Because that video will circulate like once a year. I'll see it on someone's page.
She just had a birthday, I feel like, fairly recently. I'm forgetting the actual date, but happy belated birthday, Carole.
Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. But I do want to talk about that because I know you've told that story all the time, but I am obsessed with the fact that she just showed up and you guys were like, oh, and then she sang and then you got to sing with her. Like, what was that?
Oh,
like?
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was wild. So we were doing the show. I think maybe it was May when she showed up, and we had opened Or maybe we had started previews in December. Maybe we opened in January. I forget. So this is, you know, a ways after opening. We knew she wasn't going to come to opening. That was, she was really forthright about that. And it just was a difficult show for her to see because it covered so many sort of intense moments in her young life and her early career. And so, yes, you'd pointed out. So we had met her once before. She had surprised us when we came back from San Francisco. We had done an out of town tryout of the show in San Francisco, and then had come back when we had like a 2 week hiatus and came back to New York to go into rehearsal again. And I was going up to the rehearsal studio, and I saw my buddy Jared Spector, who played Barry Mann, and we were like, "Hey, man, how are you? So great to see you. How was your break?" And we sort of saunter into the lobby of the rehearsal studio. I can't remember which one it was, but and we saw. I just saw the back of her head, and I was like, I think, and Jared looked at me, he was like, well, I guess this is happening today. So then sure enough, there were two elevators, I think, and she got onto the elevator with her team. I think her daughter and manager Sherry was there. And Jared and I get into the elevator, just kind of looking at each other like, what? And then it was like in a romantic comedy or something. It was like, bing, the doors open, and there she was standing there. And gave us a big hug, and I think I was crying. I was a little bit in shock, but so we had met her then, and she was so gracious. She talked to everybody in rehearsal and said, you know, I've heard such great things, and here's why I haven't seen it yet. And she's just as incredible as you'd want her to be. So then cut to May, I think it was, we finished the show, and Jared Spector is doing a speech for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, which raises funds in the Broadway theaters every year, at least twice every year for people who are dealing with issues regarding HIV and AIDS, and also a ton of other need-based organizations, really, really wonderful organizations. So he's doing this speech, we're trying to raise money, and sometimes we would even do auctions on things. Like I don't even remember what we would auction off, but so he was in the midst of that. And then all of a sudden I just remember hearing all these sort of gasps and like, oh, and I thought people were responding to Jared's speech. I just thought he was like really moving people. And I was just thinking to myself, man, we're gonna make some change tonight. Like, this is awesome. These people are so into this. And then I sort of turned and I was like, no, it's because Carol King is walking on stage in like a sparkly black top. And so everybody's freaking out. And then we all started freaking out. I think Jared just like doubled over and all the air came out of him. And I did too. I mean, I was just in shock because it was a shock to see her. And then sort of my brain started working again. And I realized that she had probably just seen the show. Like, she hadn't just shown up, you know, for curtain call.
It was 30 minutes before curtain.
Yeah, right. Apparently she had come, watched the show. She was like in a wig and glasses. She was in a disguise. And then had like gone out to the lobby bathroom and like de-disguised and re-caroled and then shown up on stage, right? I mean, it was incredible. And then she ended up raising like $30,000 that night, I think. Because everybody, Carol King walks out on stage and everybody was like, sing a song. So Carol, in her gracious manner, was like, okay, well, if we get to a number that I, you know, that we feel is good, that I like, we'll sing a song. So I think two people were bidding at like, I think it was 30,000 at like 15K each or something. I don't know who the heck was in the audience that night. I don't think I'm inflating this story. I think that's what it was. And she was like, okay, well,
I think it was 30.
Yeah. I think it was 30. And she sort of did the brilliant thing of like, well, would you both be willing to do it? And then we can do, I think she's saying, you've got a friend. And our MD, yeah, our music director, Jason Helen, was like, what key would you like, Miss King? And he was like, bleh, bleh, and just made it happen. And she's saying, you've got a friend. And we were all just like crying. It was a very cool moment and a really special night.
The video, it's forever immortalized because it's on YouTubes.
YouTubes, wow.
Among other places, it's everywhere.
Wow. And then she and I had got to have a little bit of a moment afterward as we're sort of walking off stage. Because I mean, so many things were happening in my brain. in my heart, but it's like I desperately wanted to know what she thought, but I also was so scared to hear. But she was so complimentary. I don't really remember what she said, to be honest. Isn't that terrible? But it was so
in the moment. It was just,
I guess I was, you'd think I'd remember then. I think it was something along the lines of, she said it was such a gift to see the show, especially to see a version of her younger self, because she was able to see it from the outside. She was able to see, she said something like, I was able to see things that other people saw in me, but I didn't at that time in my life. Does that make sense? And she was like, so it was such a blessing to see like the positive things that other people saw in me that I couldn't see at that time when I was there in it, in that body, in that heart, in that mind. So I thought that was really cool. And I was kind of like, well, I hope that's a good thing. to like see her as sort of other people saw her. Yeah, it was really interesting. But she was so kind. And then she was always behind the show. But I think after finally seeing it, she was like totally gung-ho and was really, really behind it from that point on.
That's, I think that is one of my favorite musicals. One, because I love karaoke music. Mm-hmm. But I've actually never seen it. Although everyone apparently
it's
is
still
doing
touring.
It this year.
It's still touring.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think my buddy Sarah Shepherd, who was in the original company, is playing Carole King now.
Oh, well then I should get on that.
I couldn't tell you where they are at the moment, but I mean we could Google it. It's like, beautiful the cat, and then we could tell all your friends.
Beautiful. Because I feel like every big regional theater is doing it this year for their season. I feel like,
oh, interesting. Then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not touring anymore. Because isn't that how that usually works? That you can't. But maybe
they, you can't. Yeah. That
maybe they released the rights.
Because then isn't Muni doing it this year? I think Muni's doing it this year. I could be
really
totally wrong though.
No, I don't know that. North American tour. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's done. Sorry, no tour dates found. All right, well, check it out in your local theater.
Muni.
Maybe it's done touring. Maybe they finished up.
Oh. February 9th was Carole King's birthday. The Muni said, happy birthday. Yeah, the Muni is doing Carole King.
Oh, have fun.
On June 12th through the 18th of this year.
Damn.
Among other many, many seasons that I have seen that have the show.
Oh, how fun. That's very cool. It's hitting the regional sphere.
Yeah. Because I think someone like not too far from here is also doing it. I don't know. It's like the next like Into the Woods, because everyone did Into the Woods last year.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I thought was so, I mean, I guess it was on Broadway. It was back, so
everyone. Yeah, I think it was back in people's, gonna do their people's own minds and yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Beautiful, I think, was so, I think one of the reasons it did so well was because those songs are so well loved. I mean, it has such an mm-hmm. audience appeal, because people, they're like, oh, well, I, even if they don't, and a lot of people had the experience, I think, of coming and not knowing that Carole King wrote all the songs that
wrote
she did,
the songs, yeah.
Or not knowing that Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil wrote basically almost every other hit from that era. I mean, almost. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Goffin, of course, Carol's first writing partner and husband, first husband, also was. They were just all so prolific. So it was kind of mm-hmm. the soundtrack of a certain generation's lives. Yeah.
Yeah. It's and the way that.
On people.
And the way that some of that music is written into the script is so, like, obviously some of it is like based on like the recording and everything, but even just like the finale of the first act, that's, what is that? It's a reprise of One Fine Day, I think.
Yes, right.
But so just the way that it was written, just the way that all of that was written into her life, the story of like what was happening with her life and how it fit with the music that she was writing.
Yeah, I think it was pretty deftly done. And that was something that the whole team was very conscientious of. You know, in terms mm-hmm. of like the sort of quote unquote jukebox musical, they wanted They wanted to honor the songs as pop songs, but fit them in such a way that it was still satisfying for the arc of the story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also that blue dress is one of my favorite costumes ever.
Oh, Alejo Vietti, baby. That was Alejo Vietti. And you know what? And there was a different dress in San Francisco. Which was also beautiful. It was that was more like a peasanty kind of dress. I loved that one too. But yeah, no, I think Alejo's a genius, and he created that gorgeous blue dress, and it flowed, and it was so beautiful. And there was also like another in the beginning. There was another costume underneath it. I mean, because there was a very quick change, if I'm recalling.
Oh, into the years, yeah, because you wore
out
your
of that dress outfit. Into like a very young Carol schoolgirl look in the very beginning. So there was some underdressing trickery involved, but worked out great because you're sitting at a piano. So,
Claire, you never saw the show. How in the world did you know about all this information? Okay, well, let me tell you. Jesse did a cute little Broadway.com little vlog, and she shows you how she did her quick change. And it's hilarious the way she explains it, but it's a wonderful world of, it shows you the wonderful world of theater and the wonderful quick changes that she had. She had a few in the show. But that blue dress, oh my goodness. Everyone needs to look it up. It's the dress that you see on all of the posters and everything, but it's gorgina. Like, it flows beautifully. Whatever the fabric is, I don't know what it is. I want it. I want it so badly. If anyone wants to commission that for me, I will wear it every day. I am obsessed with that dress. I love that dress.
You can hide a lot under a skirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like literally one of my favorite costumes of musical theater. It's
oh, I gorgeous. Love that. I'm going to tell Alejo.
I would wear it anywhere. Oh my gosh. I want one so badly.
It felt good too. It felt good. It was like a silky chiffon-y kind of, I don't know what fabric it was. I'll have to ask him, but yeah, it was, it felt really good.
Okay. I also want to talk about, so I told you this at Green Room, mm-hmm. Which was a few weeks ago. No, that was literally like last
when
week.
Was that? Who knows?
I don't know.
A month ago?
No.
I don't even remember.
Was it?
That was for the Broadway Green Alliance.
For Broadway Green Alliance.
Right? And if you don't know about Broadway Green Alliance, go check it out. I think, is it broadwaygreenalliance.org.com?
I think it's .org.
I think she's a .com. I can look that up too, but if you want to know more about, you know, since we're on a podcast, everyone should be open to learning more about ways we can be green and ways we can do better for our earth and our environment. So Broadway Green Alliance has been doing an amazing job in the theater community, but they also just have great, amazing ideas for anybody, little things that you can do, little day-to-day changes that you can make that actually make a big difference. And they are at broadwaygreen.com. I just looked it up. Look at all these resources.
They're great. Check them out. And also, Anika Larson is doing great sharing. Yeah. And she now has an Instagram. She's joined Instagram.
She's joined the masses. Yeah, she's a huge Broadway Green Alliance proponent and a wonderful human, and the original Cynthia Weil and beautiful the Carole King musical. It all comes together.
Oh yeah. And she has an Instagram called Green Mom AF.
Oh, is the Instagram. Yes. Name. Okay, I'm gonna check.
And she started it while she was doing Almost Famous.
Yes.
And now she sits and she chats with people and they talk about how to be even more green than, you know, just the small things.
I love it.
So it's great. But I told you that one of the cuts that I do for auditions now is your
Every Night at Seven, right?
Version of Every Night at Seven.
I think that's so fun. This was from, for people that don't know what we're talking about, this was from there was a revival of Unclear to You Can See Forever that the brilliant Michael Mayer directed, and that I was fortunate enough to do with Harry Connick Jr. And it was sort of a David Turner. I mean, it was a revised version of the original show. And so they were incorporating other Burton Lane songs. And so they grabbed some songs that weren't in the original show from a film called Royal Wedding, and Every Night at Seven was one of those songs. So it became this like big band number. So
it's so fun to sing.
Has it been treating you well? But is it hard for piano players to play? Like, would you just hand it to them at an audition? Or what cut do you do? I'm so curious.
Okay, so here's my cut. My cut is, so first off, I have not been able to find any kind of sheet music for this. So I paid someone to transcribe it.
To transcribe it, okay.
And so I don't know how accurate it is. It sounds fine to me though. But I start with, I do every night at seven. Once again in love, but only with you. You seem to bring flowers, spring. And then I do, I go to, my name could be a royal bar, I'm going to the basement floor, the moment I keep waiting for is when the day will be through,
nice cut! Jam.
To the end. Yeah, that's
take
it.
Take it to the end. I love that cut.
Yeah. It's a good one. And I use it, I actually haven't used it in person. Mm-hmm. Before. No, that's a lie. I've used it once before for Broadway Dreams. But I only bring it in when I know the pianist and I know that they can groove with it.
Sure, sure.
Because I feel like it's probably a, especially if you haven't heard it, because it's not like, you know, recorded,
it's
or
it's not
anything.
Like a stand,
so you don't know it, then it's a little confusing. Or,
yeah, that rendition, right? It's like kind of like this big band.
Yeah. So I don't bring it in a lot. I also don't bring it a lot. Yeah, I don't bring it a lot because it just like depends on what I guess I'm auditioning for. If it's a season, then I'm like,
oh right, sure,
sure, I'll bring it in. But I'm still trying to figure out the whole, like, as an audition piece, I'm like, how do I act this? Do I act like I'm in a concert? Are they going to understand that I am singing to a person in the back of a club? Or are they going to, do I need to like legitimately be like, so I'm still working that out, but it works really well for a self-tape because I'm just grooving and singing and I have my own little
showing your personality
recording of it.
Yeah.
So it's a good personality piece. It's a good, like, let me show you that I can kind of scat and sing really fast and like that kind of
fun
thing.
Yeah.
So, but it's a really fun thing.
Yeah.
But that was your Broadway debut.
Yes.
And I guess talk to me about that. Like, what?
It was wonderful.
But it seemed like
it closed. Yeah. Didn't last long.
But it seemed like a fun show. It didn't last very long.
Didn't last long. I think Michael Mayer, the director, I think he's kind of always ahead of his time. And it was exploring a lot of LGBTQ ideas and the idea of gender identity and, I mean, all kinds of things, past lives, like what is love and, you know, do we have to define it? It was sort of exploring all these really complex themes. I don't know, maybe before people were ready or, it was one of those things too. I think sometimes when you're doing something, you drink the Kool-Aid. Like, I was so in it, I don't think I ever could have seen the forest from the trees. I don't know if that's the right, does that phrase, I think it applies. But so I never saw the show, you know. I thought it was smart and delightful and different and kooky, and but who knows. I mean, I think a lot of people thought it was problematic. I had just an amazing experience. Harry was incredible. The whole cast was great, and everybody was so game, you know, so that makes all the difference in the world.
I'm a huge jazz fan, so that's the only reason why I know that it even
existed. You went to Samara Joy? I came to the party very late.
Yes. I've been listening
to supposed to see her yesterday, but she got sick, and I'm really glad she took time to like get better, because she's had an amazing last couple weeks, but I was so
last
sad
couple
I didn't
weeks,
get
yeah.
to see her. So hopefully I will get another chance when she reschedules.
Jesse, this is my formal,
I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Invite? That's not request. I don't know. Anyway, if she's ever performing in the city and we're both here, we should go. Let's go.
I started listening to her last year, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she popped up on my thing. I have Spotify, so it does the thing where you can like do the enhance mode or whatever when you're listening to your playlist, and that will like add songs that you haven't listened to that are similar to the stuff that you already have in your playlist. Mm-hmm. And she either showed up like that, or I like got on Instagram and I was like, I'm looking for some new artists. Send me some, like, and someone must have said
this. That's how I felt. I was like, what?
Yeah. And I think the first song of hers that I I probably Misty. I think Misty was the first thing that I heard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this. Mm-hmm. And then Guess Who I Saw Today is one of my favorite songs, because it's a like the storytelling is crazy. It's a good
story song. Yeah.
And she is so good with that. And I listened to what is her name? Katie? I don't know how to say her last name. Katie something.
Yeah, do you have other new people I should listen to?
Where's my...
Katie, what's your last name?
Jazz.
Katie Jazz. Is your name Katie Jazz?
What is this? It's on a playlist of mine, and I don't even know.
Well, if you find
it. That's great. Oh, her name is Katie, C-A-I-T-Y, Georgie, G-Y-O-R-G-Y.
Oh.
She scats like crazy.
Is she? I like your timbre. I like your timbre, Katie Georgie.
Yeah.
Sorry for butchering your name.
She has a lot of.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't know how to say. Yeah, she's wonderful. She has one song that I think Postage Due, is that what it's called? Is that a cover? So that's not her song, I don't think.
It's a line from a song, but oh, yeah, swing it. Okay. Oh, I see. Posters too. Yeah. Awesome.
She's wonderful. She's like another one of my favorite jazz artists. But that's why I think I found On a Clear Day, because I was looking for like some jazzy type songs to add to my book as well.
Sure.
And
sure.
I was like, this is.
Do you have some good standards in there as well?
I did, and then
those standards,
they just
got... You can sing those straight as a sore. You can swing them. Like, they will serve you right.
Well, so what's funny is, so I tell the story of your audition for On a Clear Day.
Oh.
When I am TAing. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I TA'd for this audition class. It was like a 5-week, super fast and furious audition workshop class. Yeah. And we had a moment of doing the standards. So you bring in a standard and da-da-da. And we were like, why do we bring in standards? Mm-hmm. And we always tell your story of your audition on a clear day. Because
that's
it's like
something
the
I did was
example.
Helpful once.
Also, and for those who don't.
Piano player there that day. That saved my hide, right. But yeah.
It's well, true. For those who don't know, would you like to tell the story for those who are listening who don't know?
The story is, so I had for a long time, It Might As Well Be Spring in my book. I always love that song. So I would sing it just sort of straight up, as monologue, sort of musical theater style, I guess, just as a story song. And then I brought that in to audition for the revival of On a Clear Day, and Jim Carnahan, the casting director, was like, that was great, do you have anything more jazzy? And I thought to myself, oh gosh golly, I don't think I do. I didn't say that out loud, and I said, and like ran over the piano, started flipping through my book, and I turned the piano player, I was like, do you think we could just go back to the bridge of It Might As Well Be Spring? And can we just sort of swing it? Like, I'm singing Every Night at 7 now in my head, but You know, what's the bridge of it? I don't know where I started, but, you know, I sort of was like, I did a no-no just now. I was like, snap. I did not snap at the accompanist, but yeah, I just sort of gave him a tempo. I was like, can we just try that? And he was like, yeah, sure, sure, sure. So I went back and we did like the bridge, and he was incredible. And he, obviously he plays a lot of jazz, and he swung it, and I just skidooted all over. Cause I knew it really well. You know, I knew the melody, I knew the words. And I had done some jazz singing in my life. So I knew I could do that version of it, and that I could put a different style on that piece, because it can do that. It can take that. So that was my story of using a standard and doing it different ways.
Same piece, two different songs, basically.
Same song, made two out of them.
I'm booked. Booked and blessed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, after a few more auditions.
But yeah, I tell that story all the time with,
oh, wow, yeah,
when I'm coaching, because it's like the perfect example. And what's interesting is I've had two different professors actually tell that story, not from me saying it. They were just like, do you guys know who Jesse Mueller is? And everyone's like, duh. And then they go and tell this story. But anyway, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't come up with that. I was like, people have been doing that for a long time, but that's what I've always,
3 years.
That's what I've always loved about standards. And I think that's really the way that I came into listening to jazz. And I didn't really know it at the time, but like, I grew up loving watching old movies from the 40s and 50s. And then I realized that, like, oh yeah, a lot of these sort of jazz songs originally came from musicals of the sort of what we consider the golden era, right? And then all these amazing artists sort of reinterpreted them in jazz settings. So yeah, I've always loved songs like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, totally flipping gears. So this is called I'll Drink to That, which is a Sondheim reference. It is. Because ideally we're drinking something. But anyway, so I like to bring in something Sondheim-esque.
Okay. Sure, bring
every
it. Yes, hopefully
time.
You haven't heard and me you've... sipping my tea, slurping my tea throughout this whole podcast. But if you have, I'm sorry.
I haven't, so they probably
here comes
won't.
One. Ready? Just kidding. I did that on purpose.
You've done Into the Woods a few times, right? No.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, just once. Just the once. Once time.
Okay. Just the one. But do you have a favorite Sondheim show or song?
Into the Woods. Oh, a favorite song? I also got to do Little Night Music in Summerstock one summer. That was so fun at Peninsula Players up in Door County, Wisconsin. Do I have a favorite Sondheim song? I love No
or
One
show
is,
or
I love Into the Woods. I love No One is Alone. I love Sweeney Todd. I've gotten to see that a couple times maybe. So
I'm gonna
Chicago.
Try and see the revival.
Yeah, so I really want to see it. Yeah,
I want to see it. I'm very interested. I haven't seen Sweeney Todd before. I don't know. I'm fairly new to Sondheim, to be quite
maybe
honest.
I've only seen
so
it once before. No, I feel like I saw it once in like a Summerstock theater, and then I saw it at the Lyric Theater in Chicago years ago. Bryn Terfel was playing Sweeney Todd and sang the poop out of it. I mean, it was incredible to hear him sing that. I'm trying to think who else was in that at the time. I'm blanking now. Yes, I'm very excited to see Annalee Ashford and oh my God. Why am I
Josh
blanking
Groban.
On Sweeney's name?
Josh
Groban.
Right?
Yeah, Josh of the Grobans. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see that. And I know a couple other people in it too, so yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Miles,
I don't know the show.
I think it's playing The Beggar's Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Beggar's Wife. Is that the right name? Or am I confusing my shows? Isn't she the beggar woman, not the beggar's wife? She is the beggar. She wasn't married to a beggar. Maybe she was. I won't say because it might ruin the show for you. She's the beggar woman, I believe. Ruthie Ann Wells.
I think my first ever experience with anything Sweeney Todd was my parents were watching it on the PBS where they will like show they'll do the masterpiece or whatever it is, whatever they call it, and they'll show
probably great performances. Was there a great performances?
Well, they
Is it the original?
It was the original, and it was years and years and years ago, and they played it once, and I think I was young. I was pretty young because I walked in at the wrong. I was younger than I am now, and I walked in at the wrong part for a 5-year-old.
For a tiny child, Sweeney Todd.
And I think because of that, I literally have never decided to.
Touched on it again. Yeah, it's maybe not for the children's.
No, but I am excited for this little revival.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally game. I'm trying to remember. I did go on my phone now. I'm trying to remember if the original, if that wasn't great.
With Angela Lansbury,
Len Carew, and it might be. I don't know if I've ever seen all of that. Anyway. Yeah,
it was on something. It was on the TV. That's what I remember. And me being like, oh, he's cutting his throat. Great. That's fun.
Yeah, that's a lot. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Do you have any shows that you're really excited for that are coming up on the Broadway?
Oh, I'm a little off the pulse at the moment. I'm not sure. I'm totally aware of what's coming. I know about the Sweeney Todd. I'm not sure I'm really that aware. I have to kind of get updated. What about you?
I feel like there's only half this Tony season has even happened, which is crazy to me, because there's so many shows coming.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch of things now that are open right beforehand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before the cutoff.
Life of Pi is coming.
Pumped up. Oh, right. Because that's been in London, I think.
And I'm excited for the puppetry for that, because I've seen videos of.
I think I have a friend who's on the producing side of that, I think.
Insane. Yeah. I know Parade's coming. I saw that.
Oh, right. Yes. You saw it at Encore? Yes, I'm excited about that.
That was great. What else? My friends just went to the final dress for Bad Cinderella.
Oh, right.
Which was in London. I don't know anything about that show.
I just know Joanne Hunter, I think, is the choreographer, and she did the choreography for her Clear Day, so I've known her since she's amazing. So yeah, I'm sure her work in that is.
And then, Goodnight Oscar is coming, and that's with Sean Hayes.
Oh,
they opened at the Goodman.
Wasn't that the Goodman? Yeah,
this past year.
Right.
And I saw it there, and it's insane. It's such a wonderful. It's a little bit under 2 hours. To play, it's a one act about Oscar Levant, and this isn't a spoiler alert, but the show ends with Sean Hayes playing the entirety of Rhapsody in Blue.
Wow. And actually playing
and,
it
and you actually playing it. Wow. People don't know this. Sean Hayes is like an a trained pianist.
I didn't know that.
And there were signs at the Goodman that literally say, yes, he is playing.
Yes, that
and
is
when
him.
You walk in, you're like, I don't know what that means. Wow. And then you get to the end and he plays this whole entirety of this piece. That's and they incredible. Got to the point where they had to he plays in this beautiful white grand piano, I think is what it was. And it for a while it was like you saw a side profile, and they had to people literally didn't believe it, so they turned the piano so it was angled so that you could watch so him play him. It and people still didn't believe it, so they had a sign out in the front that said, yes, he's playing.
What can't he do? Yeah,
it's amazing. It's a wonderful show. So if you have a chance to see that, totally go and see that. I can't think of anything else that's opening other than that. I think that's what's coming up in the next week or so, few weeks. But that's exciting. Okay, so before we go, I did do a little Instagram question. So we're gonna do a really rapid speed round of questions.
Okay, fire away.
Okay, Emma Burton wants to know what your favorite song on Midnights is.
On Midnights? What?
I don't know what that means. She just said her favorite song on Midnights. If you don't know what that means, then I guess that.
It's the last midnight? I don't know what that means.
Ooh. I don't either. But Emma also, so this is also one of the things I do. If people meet me in person, I will buy them a drink, whatever it is. And she messaged me and she was like, can I buy Jesse Mueller a drink? And I was like, you could if we were meeting in person, but I will let you know. I will let her know.
Thanks for the beverage offer. Sorry, we didn't understand your question.
Okay, so I did speak with Emma. And it is about Taylor Swift. And I am not a Swiftie. So I didn't understand that question. So I apologize, Emma, but maybe you can get that answer another time.
Laura says, what would your ideal vacation spot be?
Oh, I suppose it depends on the time of year, Laura. I like, it depends on the time of year. I like the desert. I like a lake and a cabin. I think it depends on, right, if I need to go somewhere warm because it's cold, or if right. I want to be, you know, like cozy in a cabin with a fireplace or something. I also hear Europe is good.
Yes, very expensive now, currently.
Is pleasing. Mm-hmm. I like exploring new places too. So it depends on whether I want like a chill vacation or I just like exploring new places. That's always fun for me.
Do you have a place recently that you've explored that's new, that you like love?
I went to London recently again. I'd only been there once before. And yeah, we loved it. We just spent a lot of time walking around the city and exploring things. It was wonderful.
I want to go to London. I've not been to Europe.
Oh, and saw my neighbor Totoro, which was incredible.
Saw what?
You know about that?
No.
Which I feel like I've heard rumblings about them trying to bring it to Broadway. It's a stage adaptation of the Studio Ghibli film, My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh.
It's incredible. You talk about puppetry.
Yeah. I love puppetry. Okay, Emily wants to know, if you could have lunch with any Sondheim character, who would it be and why?
Oh. Why did the first person that popped into my head, it was Mrs. Lovett. Although we're not eating at her restaurant. No. I don't know. I just feel like she'd be fun. You know, we'd like have a drink and shoot the shit. Maybe we'd be by the sea. Yeah, I feel like it'd be lovely. We have like a pasty. Yeah, it'd be a good time.
I don't know this person's name. But they want to know, what do you and Andy do for fun at any Broadway shows in the works?
Anonymous. What do we do for fun? I don't know. What do people do for fun? We like sitting by the fire. We like going to eat delicious food. We like going to see music, especially now that like things are a little safer. What else? We like bumming around and exploring new places. Antique shopping, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, I love a good antique shop.
Going to a coffee shop. Talking. We like talking or not talking. We can still find things to not talk about.
Do you have any pets/ do you want a pet? That is
no,
from...
not yet. And yes, we do want a dog very, very much.
I don't know who this is either. I can't figure out their name. Oh, this person asked many a question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Are you a dog person or a cat person?
I like both. Probably okay. More dog at this point. I like both.
What is your favorite food and your least favorite food?
I love pizza and chicken fingers. But I have a gluten allergy, so I have to have gluten-free versions of both. I really miss like a good chicken finger dipped in ranch. Yeah.
Those are good choices.
It's like the food of a four-year-old.
It's always the best, though.
Yeah.
They asked, when are you going to voice a Disney character?
Girl, sign me up. I'll be tree number 3, rock number 4. Doesn't matter to me.
Right now.
I'll sing in the back. You know, like the village comes out and like, da, da, da. I was like, sign me up. I don't care. I love it. It's a dream.
Is Guys and Dolls going to come to Broadway? We need more Miss Adelaide.
Oh, thanks. I don't know the answer to that. I know there's a lot of interest and there's been buzz. I believe the rights are tied up in London right now. There's going to be an immersive production, I heard. I don't know what that means. I don't know if the audience goes in the sewer. I couldn't tell you. But I think it depends on what happens in, the estate has given the rights to a production in London. And then I don't know what happens after that, but I'd love to. I'd totally be game. If we could get the whole crew together again, that was really fun.
Are you binge watching anything right now?
The Last of Us. We've been keeping up on that. That's HBO, I think. What else have we been watching? We did watch the second season of White Lotus. I preferred the first. And there's something else we kind of need it. We're kind of at the point where we need a new show. Any suggestions?
My current binge is Abbott Elementary.
Oh, I've been hearing so much about this from numerous people.
It's on Hulu, and then I learned it's also on something else, and I don't know what that is. It might be on HBO Max. I don't know.
But good for them.
It's hilarious.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. Okay, we got to check that out.
It's great. And it's only
SAG screeners to watch, sort of.
And it's only 30 minutes, so it's not like...
No, not even a big time commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice, easy binge. And then if you like... a mystery kind of drama, but still comedy, like Only Murders in the Building is great.
Oh, yes. I've been watching that. I like to keep up on my PBS dramas, too. So I binge watched all of Scarlet and the Duke. And there was something else that I was watching. We watched the new Around the World in 80 Days with David Tennant. That was fun. I love a good historical drama. So
I don't actually watch historical dramas, but I do watch a lot of docuseries kind of
I enjoy that as well.
PBS Nova has been used a lot recently, and I've also learned that I think I pay for PBS twice.
Oops. So, that means you're giving them money, which is nice.
Yeah,
television.
One of them is through
you got two tote bags.
No, well, so one of them is through like the donation thing for viewers like you. Thank you.
Right, that's you.
That's which one. But then I think I also pay for some version of it through Amazon Prime because you can buy like the channels.
Oh, you gotta check that stuff. Out.
And I think
you're double dipping
both. So you know it's okay.
But you could figure that out.
I probably could.
Buy people beverage funds.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
But
so the
what
last
a good place to put your money.
Yeah. The last question that I ask everyone is, what is your signature beverage?
My signature beverage?
Like, if it with coffee or drinks or whatever. Like, go out and you were like, just grab me something. I'm going to the restroom. And then I bring it back and you're like, this is exactly.
Just grab me. I've been a tea person lately. But I'm getting back into coffee. I think in the winter, I enjoy coffee in the morning, but usually it's tea. It's some sort of black tea. And then I'll usually have another black tea in the afternoon. Yeah, that would be it. Nothing too fancy. I usually just drink both of them black.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like a good tea. I like a good spiced tea.
Yes.
Like I'm a chai.
I enjoy an espresso as well. Oh, chai is nice. Sure, sure.
I love a chai. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for joining me on the pod.
Thanks for having me. Oh, in the pod. Is that what we call it now?
Apparently. I don't even listen to podcasts, which is really funny in my opinion that I have one, but I don't really listen to podcasts.
My new favorite podcast is, well, it's not new. It's new to me. Is Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
Oh, I'm not
a Harry Potter fan.
I'm not.
I got into it late and then I reread all. I'm not like a crazy Potterhead, but I reread all the books during quarantine. And it was a great, great way to spend time. But it's kind of a fascinating podcast about treating the study of texts as sacred. It's not like treating Harry Potter as the Quran or the Bible or anything like that, but it's just about what is the practice of treating something as sacred and set apart. And it's really fascinating. It brings up all these different sort of bigger, broader themes, and it just like it's very thought provoking, and I enjoy it. Yeah,
I think the only other podcast that I actually like will sometimes turn on is, well, I'm a huge Wicked fan, so the Sentimental Men podcast will come up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Smartless.
Yes, yes.
The Sean
That's
Hayes.
A fun one.
Yeah,
Sean Hayes.
That one's great and hilarious.
Yes, like, that is a very funny one.
So funny. But that's all my podcast listening. And then if I'm I go through phases of like people that I love, and I like watch all of the, I'm like, okay, IMDb, and I watch all of their stuff on IMDb and any podcasts that they've done.
Sure, sure. So, and then see if they have a podcast. Yes.
Uh-huh. And like what episodes they've been on. So currently my kick is Lisa Ann Walter, who is in Abbott Elementary.
Gotcha.
And she doesn't have a podcast. She had one randomly, but I can't find it. So anyway, but yeah. Thanks. I was going to say, do you have anything that you want to plug or share?
I don't think I do. I don't think I do. Share the love? I didn't know. I got nothing.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
And
when I hear it's like 60 degrees there today.
Is it? It's 54 out. And it's
crazy. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's February. I'm in Wisconsin right now, and it's 26 degrees. So, haha. Mm. I beat you.
two days ago, it was sunny. It was 60 degrees out. Like, I was wearing a jacket, and I was sweating.
Oh my god! That brings us back to go to BroadwayGreen.com and check out how you too can help protect our Earth, because we obviously need it.
Yes. Well, good grief. When you're back in the city. And if you're up for it, I will buy you a coffee. I will buy you a drink.
Thanks.
And that's it. That's all I got. I don't have any other sign off.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, Claire.
If you liked what you heard, make sure you give us a thumbs up, a 5-star, throw a rating down in there on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Y'all, that was Jesse Mueller. I got to speak to what is happening? What? That was really fun. That was really exciting. I love Jesse. She's so talented. I'm a huge fan. I don't even know what else to say. I don't have any other words. If you want to find me, you can find me on Instagram at claire.mcconnell. You can find the Broadway Vlogs on Instagram at the Broadway Vlogs. Our website is www.thebroadwayvlogs.com. And make sure you come back for the next episode. I keep saying that it'll be next week, and I'm not going to keep saying that because we all know by now that I'm really, really bad at getting these out every week. It's a lot of work. I started editing this podcast at 4:30, and it's currently 8:30, so it takes a lot of time to edit these, but you know what, come around sometime, there'll be another episode. Follow us on the Broadway Vlogs on Instagram, because then you'll know when the next episode is. All right, well, hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next episode. Bye.